first heard that song by the Steel Wheels, a band of Mennonites from Harrisonburg, Virginia, on a lovely Sunday afternoon last spring. And I can still hear them playing it now, the song flowing across the prairie like a warm breeze. Some people listening, some people singing, some people dancing, but all of us moved by these timely and truthful words. Tell me again that love will always win, even if you don't know if you believe it. You hide your doubts all over the house, locked up and loaded, till no one is free. I've listened to this psalm many times, but it hit me differently this week. I can't remember a time in my life when I've wanted someone to tell me more than now that love will always win, even if they don't believe it, because I have my doubts too. And I hate to say it, but I do, and I hide them all over the place. To say that love will always win feels like a blatant denial of reality, like saying the sky isn't blue. How can we say that love will always win when each passing week we see our world passing through another cycle of hate and violence? Hateful, violent words, hateful, violent actions. Hate and violence grow from the ground of fear, and there is no fear in love. You come to this church on Sundays to hear a story about love. It's a story that begins with God's love, a love that shatters the borders between heaven and earth in the body of a poor Palestinian Jew named Jesus, born to a refugee mother, despised by the powers that be, a love fulfilled once and for all time on a Roman cross, given once and for all people, a love that rises from the ashes of our fear with abundance. You come to this church on Sundays to hear a story about love, even if you don't know if you believe it. We all need someone to tell us that love will always win. I remember standing on the edge of the beach, right where the hot sand meets the cold water, the Atlantic Ocean. And my dad was standing with me, but he let go of my hand. And he told me to take my first steps into the ocean water. And the first feeling I had was fear. But it was a healthy fear that I had developed, the kind that heightens your awareness and allows you to separate fears that are truly dangerous from fears that we must face in order to grow, live, and learn. And that's when I saw that first wave slowly inching toward my ankles, and I braced myself, and I stood my ground. But that wave was a fraction of its former size. And then the undertow ripped beneath my feet, and I lost my balance, and I fell hard on my back. I looked up at my dad, who simply smiled and told me to get back up and take another step further into the water. I was probably about 7 years old. The words, "do not be afraid," appear 150 times in the Bible. For the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will give birth to Jesus, he tells her, "do not be afraid." When Jesus calls his first disciples to follow him, he says, "do not be afraid." When they climb the mountain with Jesus and witness his body suddenly transfigured at the top, Jesus says, "do not be afraid." When they see Jesus walking to them on the water in the midst of a storm, he says, "do not be afraid." When Mary Magdalene finally sees the resurrected Jesus on the way to the Galilee, he says, "do not be afraid." Those words are at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus in this world. In the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus guiding his followers from the way of fear to the way of love. But he doesn't do it by hiding them from fear, or by denying the reality of fear, or by ignoring their fears. He draws them closer to their fears. He stands near them in the face of fear and says, "Do not be afraid." When I stood back up, I gathered myself and I took a few steps further into the ocean water. And this time I bent my knees in preparation for the undertow. I was ready. But the next wave rumbled toward me and whipped my feet off the ground. Then the undertow ripped and pulled me further out. And at this point, I was swimming, drifting farther away from my dad on the sand, who was now just giving me a thumbs up. My fear of the volatile ocean waves was met by an adrenaline rush. I waved my arms and my legs. I knew how to swim. I could keep my head above water, but I was far enough out that I could no longer feel the ocean floor beneath my feet. And without that anchor of certainty, I was at the greater mercy of the elements. I felt vulnerable. In 2010, a social work professor at the University of Houston by the name of Brené Brown gave a TED Talk. She called it "The Power of Vulnerability." Maybe some of you have seen it. At the time of her talk, no one really knew who she was outside of a small academic circle. But the video of her talk went viral. Brown's surprising idea that there is power in vulnerability instead of weakness caught fire. And the video of her talk has received 36 million views, and it's been translated into 52 languages. From her research, which includes hundreds upon hundreds of interviews with diverse people, Brown came to see that vulnerability is what we feel on the way from fear to the way of love. Vulnerability has one foot in fear, but it is also the birthplace of joy, creativity, and love. That's the power of vulnerability. When you try something new, when you take a risk, when you walk further, when you love deeper, you are embracing vulnerability because you're putting something on the line. The outcome is uncertain. You are at the mercy of the elements. You are vulnerable. And it's not a comfortable feeling, but neither is it severely painful. Embracing the power of vulnerability is simply necessary if you're going to walk from the way of fear to the way of love, because to love it all is to be vulnerable. When she discovered that, she called it a spiritual awakening. And she describes the process of embracing vulnerability on the way from fear to love as a process of becoming wholehearted. As we walk from the way of love, our hearts are literally put back together. When we walk toward the way of love, it's like we are being forgiven by a friend. Or when someone listens to our story, or when we hear beautiful music on a Sunday afternoon, our hearts are made whole. Our hearts are connected. Back at the beach, my dad took a few steps further out into the water, waved his hands forward, and told me to keep swimming. Feeling vulnerable, I debated turning around and heading back to the sandy shore of certainty, but I was already so far out. I wanted to reach the point where the waves rise into a crescendo and crash down, so I kept going out. And by now, the adrenaline was coursing through my body. Adrenaline is intense stuff. We feel an adrenaline rush in moments of fear and in moments of love. Sometimes the two are surprisingly similar. Adrenaline increases our heart rate, expands our airways, enlarges our eyesight, and blood sprints throughout our body. In some ways, adrenaline reminds you that you are alive. And so with adrenaline and my dad's encouragement, I reached the point where the waves suddenly emerge. And soon enough, a massive wave began forming right before my eyes, just a few feet in front of me. Our passage today, which Mark read for us from 1 John 4, contains words we need to hear. The book of 1 John, found at the very end of our Bible, was written about 75 to 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Whether or not the book was written by the same author as the Gospel of John isn't clear, but it's deeply influenced by it. Scholars believe that 1 John was written as a response to factions in the early church who distorted Jesus' original message of abundant love and salvation for their own agenda. And so 1 John is a bold reminder of God's love for us and therefore our calling to love one another. And the passage puts it simply like this: when we love one another, God lives in us, and thus we have nothing to fear today, tomorrow, or on our last day. There is no fear in love, but better yet, love casts out fear. Think about that for a second. When you love, you are casting out fear and hate and violence with it. And that's how love wins. When we give our possessions to refugees and immigrants in our community, love wins. We give bags full of goodness to youth in our neighborhood, showing them that we care about them, love wins. When we package important items for mothers and newborn children, love wins. When we gather here on Sunday, united by God's love in order to love God and love one another, love wins. And these may feel like small things in the grand scheme, but small is good. And small acts of love rise up quickly. Just like the wave that was rising in front of me. When it reached the peak, I quickly spun around and dove headfirst into the water. My body was swept up in the sheer force of the wave as it crashed and charged forward. And I was riding the wave to the sandy shore. And my eyes burned, and I swallowed a gallon of salt water. But I love the feeling of being carried by that wave. I felt free. I remember washing up on the shore, sort of confused by how fast it all happened. My dad now just laughing at me. And I stood up and I felt the undertow rip beneath my feet again, but it didn't control me this time. I held my ground. And then I ran out and swam as fast as I could to catch the next wave. The fear was gone, cast out by my new love of the waves. Now, I hope you don't leave today thinking that I have just encouraged you to be reckless. Last summer, we took Levi to the ocean, to that same beach, for the first time, and he went sprinting into the water with no fear at all, as if he had done it 100 times before. And that doesn't surprise you, knowing him a little bit. We need to develop healthy fears that manage to keep us safe, of course. But we are also beholden to other kinds of fear that do not serve our growth as people and as followers of Jesus. And the problem comes when we allow those fears to control us and pull us away from love. Love connects. fear disconnects. At each and every turn of his ministry, Jesus broke down the walls of fear that disconnected and divided people. He embraced the widow, the poor, the sick, the veteran, the tax collector, the woman at the well. And when he did this, Jesus signaled that God's love is not a scarce resource designated for the righteous few, but an abundant gift given for all. Imagine what our world would look like if we shared God's love in abundance. It would look something like that great Hebrew word, shalom. Not just the absence of fear, but the presence of love. Much like wholeheartedness, hearts connected back together. Sisters and brothers, the truth is that this is not an easy time to speak of abundant love. When we look out into our world, it often looks like fear is winning. And no matter our perspective, these are troubling times for all of us. And yet, as people of faith, we are called to stand up and walk toward the way of love. Fear will rip beneath our feet like the undertow. It will try to control us and pull us away from love. But do not be afraid. We must keep walking. Even when we are full of doubts, even when we feel vulnerable, we must keep walking to the wave that rises and rises and rises and carries us home to love. May it be so. Amen.